I want to talk to you tonight about how you actually take God's medicine for healing. Say he's a healer.
He's a healer.
Always been a healer.
He's always been a healer.
He always will be a healer.
He'll always be.
And I've always loved this scripture over in Psalm 119 in verse 130. It simply says, the unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And on every matter of life and on every covenant promise, on every benefit that God provides for his people, it can be there, it can be available, it can be, in God's opinion, a matter that's settled. But if we don't have light on that ourselves, it's not going to benefit us very much. Mm-hmm. How many say you have light on heaven?
Yes.
Anybody here going to heaven?
Yeah.
How many say you have light on the things like God's desire to bless your life and favor your life? Well, it's incredibly important that you have light, not just somebody else have it, be excited about it, but you have light. So say that with me,
the unfolding
of your words,
gives light.
It gives understanding to the simple. And this doesn't take place in the mind. The mind can be a tool for God in terms of renewing your mind and meditating on the Word of God. But this is an explosion that takes place in the heart of man, in the spirit man. That's where your breakthrough begins. You know the scripture in Romans 10:17. So faith comes by
hearing,
and hearing by what? By the word of Christ. So you have to understand that God's word literally is medicine.
Yes, it is.
You have to have that insight, that revelation, and you have to understand that God's word is filled with supernatural power. Say this with me.
The word of God
has the power to bring itself to pass
in my life.
It's already pregnant with power.
Yes, it is.
It's what we do with it. And that's why developing and cultivating our faith for healing is so critical. You know that divine healing is the removal by the power of God of disease and sickness upon the body. Divine health is where we live day by day in that static condition of health. And divine life is where God uses us as a tool to impart either that divine life or that divine healing or wholeness to other people. When they reached out and grabbed a hold of Jesus, not just the woman with the issue of blood, but others, multitudes did this. My guess is that people by the hundreds did this. And whoever reached out and grabbed the hem of his garment by faith, what happened? Virtue came out of them. Say that with me. Virtue came out of them. Now, King James word, it basically means supernatural power came out of him, and those that were operating in faith, of course, they received and got a breakthrough in their body. So this is what God has made available to us by covenant, by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But I want you to understand this. Do you know that you might sin this week, but you didn't have to?
That's right.
That's right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
In other words, most of us, even though we're on the right path and we're moving forward, and maybe you may make mistakes, you know, maybe sometimes you just blow it, you're certainly making progress in the things of God. This is a sin-soaked world. Have you noticed it?
Yeah.
Everywhere you look, it's getting worse, not better. Well, the Bible says where sin abounds, what does grace do? It abounds all that much more. You have to understand the same thing is true of sickness and disease. This is a sickness and disease soaked world.
Yes.
Everywhere you look, COVID was just a reminder of that. But without COVID, all over the world, people dying daily, things that you and I now take for granted in terms of our health, that we're going to need in these last days, not just man's ability and not what God has revealed through technology. We're going to need his supernatural power more than we ever have before. We've got to learn how to believe God for others, but we also have to learn how to believe God for ourselves.
Yes.
That's one thing for God to use somebody to lay hands on you to get sick. It's another thing for you to learn how to get and maintain the healing that he purchased through his blood for you. Say it with me, I'm going to get it and maintain it. And again, it has nothing to do with you coming under condemnation any more than we want somebody who sinned last week to go into condemnation and run from God. Say it, it's a sin-soaked world.
It is a sin-soaked world.
It's a sickness-soaked world. And so, you know, we're not looking at this thing as, well, you should be proficient now. You should already have perfected this thing in dealing with sin, or you should be perfect in dealing with this effective sin called sickness or disease. No, but you should be making progress in this.
That's true.
There is going to be a day where you will stand perfectly glorified in his presence.
Amen. Yes.
There won't even be a smidgen of sin on you. There won't be a smidgen of sickness or disease or bondage or anything on your life. I bring this up because it does no good to present these things and you walk out here feeling, well, I've got something in my body. I must be doing everything wrong. No, I want to just quote somebody that I've listened to for years as a baby Christian, Amy Grant. A couple of years ago, had a terrible accident on a bicycle and had a traumatic brain injury and lost a short-term memory, came back from that. She said the most outstanding thing, I think it was ARP who interviewed her. She said, you know what? Everybody's recovering from something. That one statement is worth $1 billion. Because that's the truth. Now, it's one thing to be recovery. It's another thing to be satisfied and stay there. Amen? And moving on. You know what that's like. Some of you have been through some terrible things in life. And your biggest issue is dealing with the matters of your heart. Matters of bitterness and unforgiveness and that kind of thing. Other people are dealing with, you know, strongholds in their life. You know, addictions and habits and whatnot. Other people are struggling with something physical. Well, the key is to take God at His word and rely on that anointing that's on that word and make progress in your life. I'm looking at a bunch of healed people in Jesus' name. I'm looking at a bunch of restored people. Can you say that's me in Jesus' name? So whatever it is, it's not about condemnation. It's about progress. It's about moving forward into what He purchased for you and for me. Now, we know according to John chapter 1 that grace and truth came through Jesus. In the beginning was what? The Word. Put your eyes on this in John chapter 1 and remind yourself that when you are in the Word of God, when you are reading, when you are meditating, when you're memorizing, when you're thinking about, you're actually in fellowship with Him. The Word and Jesus are what?
One.
They are one. In the beginning, verse 1 was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. You go on down to verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if you go over to 1 John, everybody say 1 John. Apparently, he wasn't done yet. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of what?
Life.
The word of what?
Life.
The word of life. The word that contains life, the word that is the progenitor of life, the word that is the sustainer of life. They said we had personal interaction with it. And it says the life appeared. And we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. So you can't separate Jesus from His Word, and you can't separate life from His Word. And, you get enough His Word in you, and that which is either dying or dead comes to life. He said in His Word, my words are spirit, and they're what? And they're what? They are life. And we know the Word of God and the anointing to restore travel together. Say hand in hand. I want you to see just an example of this in Mark chapter 16. Mark 16. Look at somebody and smile and say, it's a good day to be healed.
Yeah, it is.
And look at verse 15. And He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Everybody say it's good news.
Good news.
Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
In my name, they will drive out demons. Is He still doing that?
Yes.
They will speak in new tongues. Is He doing that? They'll pick up snakes with their hands. Mm-hmm. that was fast. Just amen. And say, Lord, I don't want that spiritual gift. Let me just finish reading this and I'll comment on that. If they do so, they pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will what?
Get healed.
They will get healed. Now, regarding snakes, there are people in the Pentecostal tradition, you know, you find these little pockets throughout the country in little churches and storefronts, and you think it's just in Kentucky, somewhere in Appalachia, but you'll find pockets of this throughout the world where they actually believe that as a testament of your faith, holding on to some poisonous snake is proof that you're a man of God or a woman of God. And oftentimes, sooner or later, what happens to them is they get bit because they're actually tempting God. The way we understand this is to go in our minds back to when Paul was on that shipwreck and on that island. He gathered some sticks and a viper came out and latched itself onto his hand. He wasn't presumptively messing with a snake. He wasn't taking up snakes to prove what a man of faith he was. He was doing what God had called him to do. Say that with me. I'm doing what God called me to do. And what did he do? He had the ability just to shake it off. And I recommend you do that when you get bit by a viper.
Amen.
Whether it's one that slinks on the ground or two legs.
Amen.
Some of the vipers that bite us have two legs and a big mouth.
Yeah, that's true.
And what are you going to do with it?
Shake it off.
I'm here to say that Paul came up with that long before Taylor Swift. Shake it off was not her idea. Incidentally, any kind of political insight you get from Taylor Swift, shake it off too.
Amen.
Moving right along, Pastor. But, you know, he wasn't saying, look at me, aren't I great? In the course of doing his ministry and caring about his business, he was protected. It's the same thing with drinking something. You don't go drink something that is poisonous to prove how great your faith is. No, you're in faith doing your assignment. And if you happen to get a hold of something that's poisonous, you can believe God for protection and for restoration.
That's right.
And you don't know what people are doing in the back of that restaurant.
That's true.
And all I can tell you is if you've ever had a serious case of food poisoning, you thank God for Mark 16. Because you can literally feel like you are dying. Thank God for the Word of God.
Amen.
You're traveling all over the world like Paul and ministering places that are new. Who has any idea what the culture is, what they're doing? And, you know, just because modern times we understand, you know, microbes and we understand the danger out there doesn't mean that people practice those things in a given restaurant or place. Some of you are thinking, I am never going out again, bless God, after this sermon. I'm going on a fast. But that's the point. It's supernatural. When the snake bit him, God supernaturally protected and preserved Paul. When you drink something that is deadly, it's harmful, or eat something that's harmful, it's supernatural. And when you lay hands on the sick, it's supernatural. Say it with me, it's supernatural. Come on, shout it out, it's supernatural. The natural is not going to cut it. There's no way. If you're alive, smile and say, I'm alive. Because if you are oblivious to what's really going on in this nation, you really have lost any level of discernment. If you still think this is about politics and political parties, you're dead wrong. We are in the biggest spiritual battle we've ever been in our entire existence as a nation. And the bottom line is it's being personified and being caricatured and all kinds of things are being thrown out there. But this is literally for the soul of this nation. And that's why you don't let anybody but the Holy Ghost tell you what to do with your sacred trust, your vote.
That's right. Amen.
No matter what somebody says.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
Get a hold of this truth. Because I'll tell you what, there's a much bigger issue going on behind the scenes than just whatever one person says, whatever some person counters, what political party says. This is supernatural.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
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 And who is empowered to deal with supernatural things in America?
The church.
Yeah. The Overcomers Club.
Yes. All right.
That's right.
Thank you for your enthusiasm over that.
Amen.
Who can fight back in supernatural ways? God's people who are born again and spirit-filled and on fire for God. Say it, I'm born again.
I'm spirit-filled
and I'm on fire for God. You know, it's about a supernatural lifestyle. And that's what God offers to us. He sent forth his word, Psalms 107, verse 20, and he healed them. He's still doing the same thing. He sent his what?
Word.
His word. And the big idea for the enemy is to do whatever he can do to get Americans off the word, get churches off the word of God. You'd be amazed how many churches do not preach the word of God anymore. And those who say they still have a certain level of fidelity to this book, they refuse to preach certain things because it's too controversial. They don't want to offend anybody. You know, I have that spiritual gift, not caring if somebody offends, if I offend them or not. Because you can't care about offending people and have any kind of devotion to this book.
Amen.
In fact, this book should offend you.
Yes.
If you're not living the way it's prescribed.
That's it.
You know, and if the cat's, you know, if it's rubbing your fur the wrong way, turn that cat around, Brother Osteen used to say. You have the choice to do that. That's I'm glad to hear there are no cats being eaten in Murray or dogs being eaten. Glory to God. Going back to the spiritual component, it's actually been revealed that what's going on in a lot of these neighborhoods is Haitian voodoo, satanic, ritualistic killing of these animals. The eating part is irrelevant. This has been going on for hundreds of years in this culture, and it hasn't yet begun to dawn on Springfield, Ohio, what they really have now in their city. Has nothing to do with race or creed, has nothing to do with color. It has to do with spirituality. And the devil has a stronghold in Haiti, and he wants a stronghold in this country. I mean, say, and I'm putting my foot down. How many say that you're children of God?
Yes.
And how many say you're citizens of this nation?
Yes.
Then you have every right to put your foot down.
Yes.
Use your authority spiritually. Say, no, not in my neighborhood, not in my country. We're not putting up with this. Jesus is Lord, and God's still got a great plan for this nation.
Amen.
Do you believe that today?
Yes.
Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus
and
Lord.
God still has a great plan
for this nation.
But you're in a spiritual war. And that's what's going on. He'll do anything he can to get you to turn your hands and your heart and your mouth loose of the word of God because he knows that's where the power's at. That's why the assault is on the word of God. It happens in ivory towers and seminaries. It happens in churches that refuse to hold to the word of God. We have church leaders rewriting the Lord's Prayer because it's not inclusive enough. Let me tell you something. God doesn't care about your version of inclusivity. He said all what? He's well, not within any should perish, but all come to a place of salvation. That's his inclusivity.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
There is no DEI department in heaven. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? He's not even interested in diversity.
Uh-uh.
Now you're going to meddling, Pastor. He's interested in complete uniformity of faith and confidence of God and holiness of God. Are you here today?
Yeah.
And what makes people have equity is faith and confidence in the blood that was shed. You can have anything the Bible says you can have. Don't teach people that the elevation of one group of people, amen, is going to be the demise of another. The gospel is very clean. The cross lifts everybody up, whosoever will. That table's available for all. You talk about equity?
Yes.
Amen. And I'm telling you that you're not just saying, well, I've got a battle physically going on. No, you're in a spiritual war is what's happening. And that's why you've got to avoid every temptation for someone to look down upon you, somebody to condemn you, and just smile at them and say, well, you know what? Everybody's recovering from something. But bless God, I'm what?
I am
recovered. Glory to God.
Amen.
Say it, I am
the recovered,
in Jesus' name. And the point is that you and I can look towards God's word in a way that is different from just a little religious book or even a place where we get our text for a sermon, but see it what it literally is. It's medicine.
Mm.
Say it, it is medicine.
It is medicine.
And does it work?
Yes.
I said, does it work?
Yes.
Yes, it does work. I'm holding the book that Dodie Osteen wrote years ago, 1981. She was going to ORU. Her son Paul was in the medical school there, and she started feeling really, really bad. And come to find out, what she had was metastatic liver cancer, and the experts in Houston told her that, you know, we can treat you, but with treatment or without treatment, you're not going to last but a couple of weeks. And then Paul came in. He was doing surgery down the street at another hospital in Houston. And he came in and they told him, and he bawled like a baby because he knew as an expert in that field what was happening to her was real. This was not some game. This was life threatening. And, you know, they said, what you going to do? What do you want us to do? And Brother Osteen said, well, I'm just going to take my wife home. We're going to pray and ask God what to do. And that's how we're going to handle this. And days went into weeks and weeks went into months. And what she did, I'm holding in my hand, and 40 of the scriptures she used, that she literally took purposefully as medicine every day. And 1 week went by, and a month went by, and 6 months went by, and a year went by. And then 2 weeks to February of that year, every test that could be run on her blood, on her liver, all confirmed that she was completely delivered of liver cancer. And she's still down there at Lakewood Church laying hands on the sick every single week. God is not a man that he should lie. But it is a war. And it was not something mystical there. It was literally the application of the Word of God in her heart and life that caused her to be sustained. Amen. And God is no respecter of persons. And I'm telling you that once you get some light, as we talked about at the beginning of this message, you've got to hold on to that. You can't let somebody talk you out of it. You can't let circumstances persuade you to throw the Word of God down. To whom are you going to go?
That's it.
You walk away from what the Word says, where are you going to go? Well, I'll just live like everybody else. What's the point? Everybody dies. Look, yeah, everybody dies, but not everybody dies having fulfilled God's call on their life. Say it, I'm going to fulfill God's call on my life. Say it like you mean it. I want to fulfill God's call on my life. And you got a generation of folks out there that are confused as they can be. They think it's about what they want, what they feel, you know, what they have an idea of, you know, what social media tells them. No, God's got a big plan for your life. And you're not going to find it by getting an influencer to tell you what to believe and what to think.
That's it. Amen.
Influencer. No, the Word of God needs to be the biggest influence in your life.
Yes.
Say it by faith. The Word of God, is the biggest influence in my life. You'd be surprised how many good young people have been led astray and destroyed because they gave their ear to some nimbit with an Instagram account. Or something they read on social media. Amen. You have people today hating people in various gates of our society, whether it's ministry or entertainment or politics, all because they heard something on social media. Yeah. Well, you know, I hate them because they're this, 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 and this. Have you met that person? Did you talk to that person? Let's talk about this for a moment, church. We're Christians.
Yes.
Say, we are Christians.
We
do things differently. How many times does Trump have to dodge a bullet before people wake up? 10% of this nation was polled. The nation was polled. 10% said they believed it was okay to use violence to take him out.
Wow.
In the United States of America. So shocking that even liberals on broadcast television couldn't believe it. Well, he's this, and he's that, and he's the other thing, and he's this. Is that right? You know that firsthand. You don't know that firsthand, so that makes you a liar. A Christian liar.
Mm. Oh, dear.
I am way off my message now. Say it, a liar.
A liar.
That's what you're dealing with. Flat, outright lies that are repeated over and over and over and over and over again until they ring or sound true. We don't need a lie. We need the truth.
Yes.
And the truth is the Word of God.
That's it.
And the same thing can be said about other world leaders and other people in this. I mean, some of the biggest targets right now are people out there in ministry. Well, you know, I heard that Joel Osteen has a house that costs $100 million and he has a fleet of Lamborghinis and he has 6 jets. Really?
So what? Yeah.
Because he took you on a tour of his house. Now, you expect the world to do this. We expect more of Christians.
Amen.
Amen. You'll find people, that's right, like LOL, isn't that great? You think you know these people, you don't. What I'm saying is a lot of this stuff the enemy can use and take advantage of to absolutely destroy a person's life if they yield to it. Amen. Watch this. God says something in His Word and you'll fight over it and you'll just struggle to believe it, but you'll believe the first thing you see on TikTok. 30-second video. Well, it must be true. Somebody put it up on TikTok.
Oh, dear God.
My opinion is that people who put this stuff up there that's not true, they should not be shielded. They should be sued for everything they have. And lose everything they have. And then it will send a message to the rest of the world. You're not going to get away with slander. If you did this in a newspaper, they would hold you accountable. Do it on social media and you can get away with anything. Amen. That's not supposed to be us. We're supposed to be word people. Say we are word people. Before we dive too far into the truth and the application of how to apply God's word as medicine. Say, it is medicine.
It is medicine.
It's medicine.
It is medicine.
To your entire body.
To the entire
Amen.
Body.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit, soul,
Amen.
And body.
Say, it's medicine.
It is medicine.
I want you just to think about and digest the you know some major causes of sickness in people's lives. And look at somebody and smile and say, this isn't the judgment zone. Judgment-free zone. If I say something and it strikes your spirit, don't blame me. I'm not the Holy Ghost. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And you shall know the truth.
And the truth will set you free.
And the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. Amen. One is, of course, original sin. This means, and you know, really focuses on what happened in the garden when Adam and Eve rebelled from God. And they're the ones that opened up the door to sin and destruction in this world. They're the ones that open up the door to sickness. So right away, understand, you don't live in a bubble. You live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that thing? You live in a fallen world. It should not surprise us that there is sin, devastation, addiction. It shouldn't surprise us that there is sickness, which is the direct effect of sin in this world. It doesn't have to be your personal sin for the original sin to affect you.
Correct.
Anybody here actually had COVID?
Yeah.
Couple of you?
Yeah.
Right?
Me.
Some of you did, some of you did not, some of you didn't want to know. I don't think that COVID was due to your personal sin. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You can go back to the conditions that are developed because of sin in this world, and you have people doing things that shouldn't be done. And I believe in God, one day they'll all be held accountable for what they have done. But the bottom line is that's the nature of things. And so what you have to do is be aware of that you may live in a sin-soaked world, but you're not of this world. You have the ability to believe, God to live above this and in victory despite what's coming, your way. And again, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's why he that compares himself against others is not wise. It's enough to take care of you. Smile and say it. I am a full-time job all by myself. I don't have time to analyze everybody else. Number two is personal sin. You do need to understand that sin will open up the door to the enemy to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But there's no point in you trying to say, well, there must be something wrong with me, because I'm dealing with this. No, God will make it very plain if there's a connection between some disobedience or rebellion in your heart and what's going on with you physically. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
On the other hand, when they ran across this man who was blind, from birth, what was the first question the disciples wanted to know?
What did he do
or what did his parents do that this man was born blind? What did Jesus say? It wasn't the personal sin and it wasn't what? The parents' sin. But he went on to say that, guess what? This is going to be for the ultimate glorification of God. And of course, there's a restoration there. A lot of people are like that. They want to point fingers, say, well, there must be some, you know, terrible sin in your life. No, it can be due to original sin and the war that surrounds that original sin. Now, that said, we should all live very, very close to the heart of God and listen if there's something in our lives that doesn't belong there. And if you're doing something, involved in something where he's dealt with you over and over again, you've opened up a door to the evil one that you need to shut. And shut it quickly.
Yes.
Are you hearing? It's hard enough to fight this fight without you leaving an open, a door open to the enemy to come in and steal, kill, and destroy in your life. Amen. And if, you know, you happen to be, you know, in your family, you're the matriarch or the patriarch, make sure you understand your responsibility to guard those gates, to guard those doors, to guard those windows. These things, you know, are not allowed to come in. So you want to be like a barefooted priest, very, very sensitive to what's underneath your feet. And if you're doing something wrong, saying something wrong, repent of it and get dominion over it. Well, I just can't. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And you're not to let sin reign in your mortal body to obey the lust thereof.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So, you know, original sin is an issue and personal sin is also an issue. If you have sin, is there a remedy for that?
Yes, there is.
Is there?
Yes.
Confess it. Amen. Is he faithful to cleanse you?
Yes.
Is he faithful to forgive you?
Yes, he is.
Is he faithful to give you a fresh start?
Yes,
he is. Number three, and this has really nothing to do with you, is genetics. Some of you dip from the really bad side of the gene pool. And that's just the way it is. And the big deal today is to get on 23andMe or something out and just find out all the bad stuff that's in your genetic pool. I don't recommend you do that. Number one, because you've got a new source of DNA through the new birth in your life. You have to understand the difference between that. Now, if something shows up, you deal with that. Say, no, I'm done with that in Jesus' name. You know, Keith Moore is talking about how he had many people in his family die, you know, by the time they're 20 years old, having heart attacks at very, very young ages. And the devil convinced them he's going to leave this life early as well. And, you know, he had bypassed that, believing God, getting into the Word of God, confessing the Word of God. And yet this thing was lingering over his family. And I remember him telling this story. He was out there, I think he was actually, you know, transporting some animals, some cows, something like some dairy cows, something like that. And he was in a truck stop area. And a friend of his was in his cabin, his truck. And he knocked on that door. And that man grabbed a handgun and almost pulled that trigger and shot him in the chest as he opened up that door just to tell him hello. The devil almost got him because of that thing that was operating in the family. I hate to tell you this, despite people who kind of just throw cold water on the concept, but there are generational curses out there.
Yeah.
Amen. And you need to have the mindset it stops with you.
Amen.
Say it with me. Heart disease
is over.
Cancer
is over.
Drug addiction
over.
Alcoholism,
it's over
in Jesus' name. You're born again, blood washed, spirit filled. You have the authority and the ability to say, no, it's not going forward in Jesus' name. My kids and my grandkids are going to be victorious.
Amen.
Say they're going to be victorious.
They're going to be victorious.
You know, every once in a while I come across a study of people who have a lineage where God was, you know, in their lives, in their family, Jesus was Lord, and those that were given over to criminal behavior and activity. And all it takes is one person to change that. Now, if you didn't have that, that's sad, that's bad, you know. Nobody would say it's a great thing, but you can make all the difference in the world what happens with your downline.
That's right.
Amen. Don't pine over everything that was wrong before. Put up a new attitude in your own mind. So, you know, I'm going to have my downline for Jesus Christ, and my genetic code is redeemed in Jesus' name. Say it,
I've been redeemed
from the curse.
From the curse.
And it was the curse. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? That is tied to the problems in your genetic code. Is he able to heal you?
Yes, he is.
Is he able to heal you, church?
Yes, he is.
Yes. So it could be original sin. It could be personal sin. It could be genetics. It could be environmental. There are all kinds of things that are in our environment. I'm not a tree hugger. At the same time, if anybody should be good stewards of what God gave us, it should be Christians. This should be hard to figure out. It shouldn't be for polluted air, polluted waterways and riverways. You go over to parts of Asia and you can't even go to the beach because the beaches are filled with plastic containers and bottles. Absolute mess. There's not being, you know, real stewardship over that stuff. That stuff can absolutely take you out. In Southern Illinois, in buildings where my dad worked for years, they couldn't understand why a huge percentage of the people who lived in Southern Illinois, Goreville area, and worked in that plant were getting cancer at 25, 30, 35 years old. Then they found out that before the ammunition plant went in, there was a company called Sangamo, and they made electric transformers in those buildings. Back in World War II, they made bombs for World War II effort. There were 50,000 people that worked there in Marion, Illinois, to make bombs for the war effort. Hitler did not have Marion on his radar, amen? That wasn't on his mind. And that's what they did. Well, they moved out of those federal buildings and in came Sangamo. And when Sangamo got done, they just dumped everything in the ground and left. They found out that they had dioxins and PCBs, polychlorinated biphenyls, very dangerous chemicals. It's exorbitant, you know, rates, 300,000 parts per million in some parts of those buildings. And that's why people are getting cancer. They tested the fish on the other side of the cove, the backside of where this property is. And to this day, they'll tell you, don't eat the fish that are in those areas of that particular lake, in Crab Orchard Lake. Why? What's happening here? You have a situation where there's the ground has been poisoned and something is wrong, and all these people were dying. Once you have understanding, you do something about it. They scooped the dirt up and they spent a Superfund money on that thing to incinerate that and get it all fixed. But it didn't have to happen that way. Going to have an amen. Amen. And you may have something going on like that in your situation, you know, where there's an environmental factor that's affecting you. God's bigger than that too. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I know people personally that have been infected by things that they were exposed to. Well, you can be exposed to that and just say, well, that's just the way it is, or expose yourself to the Word of God and be healed. Amen.
Yeah.
You have to say, my confidence in God is bigger than what I've been exposed to in the past. Does that make sense? Fortunately, this part of the country, you don't have a lot of things like that. But a lot of people are just, they're not blessed that way. Their entire communities had to leave their homes because of the same kind of problem I just mentioned. Dump sites by irresponsible companies and corporations. Christians should not have a problem taking care of the environment. Sacrificing human beings to save a fish? No. You're made in God's image.
That's right.
The salamander is not.
Mm-mm.
Are you here today?
Amen.
Look at somebody and say, steward the world.
Steward the world.
Don't worship the world.
Don't worship the world.
And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're worshiping the creation instead of the creator. Might be original sin, personal sin, Gen X, environment. Could be lifestyle. Oh, I hear a big amen coming.
Yes.
A big amen that says, just move on. But it's what you're eating. What you're drinking, your activity level, your exercise level. You can't be doing certain things and then expect that everything's going to be perfect in your health. Not a reason to come under condemnation, but some of these things are very, very obvious. But the United States has become the fattest country on earth. And I'm not talking about fat with the anointing. What's it from? It is from personal decisions and lifestyle. And every major category, from cancer to diabetes, you name it, to heart disease, all has its origin in how we are doing, you know, ourselves with what we're taking in voluntarily. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and say, eat that whole bag of Lay's. Amen. And, all of us. Say all of us.
All of us.
All of us in the same boat. Say, no, I'm younger and I'm just fine. Just wait. Eventually that rocket fire metabolism will slow a little bit. Amen. And there are cultures around the world that don't have that problem. And I'll give you I'll give you a key here. It's processed food. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. And I don't know, man. It's a strange time we live in. There's a certain kind of cereal Kelly would pick up for me, and it's, you know, when I was a kid, it was like add sugar to everything, but this has really no sugar in there, and I've gotten used to it. But the box was this big about 2 months ago, like a normal cereal box. She brought home a box the other day, same brand, this tall, and that wide. I've heard of shrinkflation before, but that was ridiculous. Do y'all remember those little things you used to get when you were a kid? Your mom would get the variety pack. This thing wasn't much bigger than a variety pack, a box of cereal. Now I'm thinking, yeah, four more years. By then, it'll be that big. The thing of it is, you can't be listening to all the experts on this stuff because they don't agree. Who made you?
God did.
The Lord made you. And the secret to this, and the easiest thing to do is moderation, but also turn your plate over to the Lord. He's Lord over everything else. Some of y'all are getting a revelation. He could be Lord of the plate too.
Yes.
Oh, no. He can have everything else, but he's not getting my plate too. Say it, the Lord of the plate.
Lord of the plate.
You can confess a scripture 50 times a day and then not pay attention to some of these natural things you can do. It's going to be a hard road for you to follow. So say it with me, greater is he
that is in me.
So I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much smaller these things can get. You know, I first noticed this, several months ago with some other product, I thought, nah, that's just my imagination. But this is not my imagination. They're selling with the same label everything, but the contents has been depressed. And now I guess they figured out that if you open up a bag of chips or open up a thing of cereal and half of it's air, consumers aren't going to like that. So now what they did was reduce the box size so they can have less air with even less contents. Amen. Same price. No, higher price. Yeah. Say it with me, lifestyle. Number six, behavioral factors. Not just lifestyle, but things you could be doing. You know, people used to say, well, so-and-so is accident prone or whatever. No, accident prone is really not a good thing to say. Oftentimes, they're just being stupid. I'm not going to take a poll here, but how many before you got saved, notice what I just said, before you got saved, ever got behind of a wheel and you shouldn't have gotten behind a wheel? Bert would admit that. I've seen some of y'all's records. I know. What was that? If you had injured yourself or somebody else, right? That was not anything to do with the curse, had nothing to do with anybody's decision but your own. And people do stuff like this. It's like the Allstate commercial. They're out there. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually saw this one. I can't remember what town we were living in, but there was a lady. She was driving with her knee and she had a cup of coffee in one hand and she was doing her eyelashes at the same time driving down the road. And I'm like, lady, it ain't gonna make any difference what your eyes look like when you're slapped on a slab in a morgue somewhere. Amen. Look at somebody and say, just don't be stupid. Stupid's making a lot of people sick and diseased and infirmed. Amen. Well, God just should protect me. I mean, God has protected you.
Yes, he has.
And you should give him thanksgiving for all the times that he has protected you. And you know he was protecting you. He was operating on the prayers of a grandma or a mother somewhere. You wouldn't be here to this day. It wasn't for him. But as a believer, realize we got to walk in wisdom in the things that we do. And sometimes it'll be as simple as God just telling you, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to go over here. And you should learn to listen to him. I mean, I can tell you several times where just a change in plans for travel make all the difference in the world. God told Jason to plan this one time after a long trip. He wanted to get home. He wanted to get on that plane. God said, don't get on that plane. Don't get on that plane. He said, okay. And so they're all bored. He's like, well, I'm not getting on that plane. I'm going to take the next one out. Well, there may not be a next one out today, but I'm not getting on that plane. And another man was watching all this, and he decided he wasn't getting on the plane either. Well, the plane goes down the runway about to take off, and the engines burst into flames. I mean, you know, it pays to listen to the Holy Ghost.
Yes, it
does. Because somebody say, listen to the Holy Ghost.
The
funny thing about that story is that man got on the plane that saw him do this. He said, I want to sit next to him. He seems to know what's going on here. You have the Holy Ghost. And is it okay if every once in a while he says, that's stupid?
Yeah.
Does he talk to you that plainly? Is that okay if he does?
Yes.
It's not because he hates you, it's because he loves you.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Say it, original sin.
Original sin.
Personal sin.
Personal sin.
Genetics.
Environment.
Lifestyle.
Behavior.
And last, a spiritual attack. It has never been clear to me that we're in a spiritual war like never before. And to the extent the enemy is able to manipulate things and manipulate people, he'll do everything he can to take God's people out early. Now, aren't you glad you're born again?
Yes.
Can I see the hands of those you're born again? You're on your way to heaven. Aren't you glad you are?
Yes.
Not looking forward to going today.
No.
Right? Something for you to do.
Yeah.
But you know that you're going. Oh, devil's lost that battle. You're right with the Lord. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You're serving Him, dedicated to Him. I mean, you've resolved that issue. That means there's only one thing left as far as the devil's concerned, is to stop you from having any other influence in this world. The fruit of a Christian is what? Another Christian. Do everything he can to stop you from making an impact. And if that means you leave in this life early, then so be it. You leave this life, whenever you leave, absent from the body,
present with the Lord.
But that's the last day you can be a part of God's redemptive mission. You'll never get anybody healed. You'll never get anybody saved. You'll never lead anybody to the Lord. You'll never, you know, guide somebody and disciple somebody in the things of God. Your time is over. And you have to make sure you understand this is not natural what's going on. So before you go around thinking, well, you know, I'm this way because, you know, Aunt Martha or, you know, Uncle Fred gave this to me genetically. No, before you do all that, realize at the supreme level here, you are dealing with spiritual forces. You are dealing with forces in high places. You are dealing with influences. You're dealing with the manipulation, the witchcraft of circumstances and situations and inputs and everything you're exposed to in this life. And it makes a difference that you understand that so you can fight the good fight. You are not going crazy. You really are in a war.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Smile and somebody say, reassure him, you're not crazy. Come on, church, tell me. Does it not feel surreal right now in this country?
Yes, it
does. Does it not?
I
Good for you. But you don't even have to watch the news to know there's something hanging, you know, in the atmosphere. That's the smartest thing anybody's said all day. Don't watch the news.
Mm-hmm.
It's all good, right?
No.
No, it's all propaganda.
That's it.
Yeah.
Completely. You know what the good news is?
Woo! Yeah.
Yeah.
Always good, always true, and it's always right. Now, when you're battling something, it's a good idea just to ask the Lord. So, you know what? What's going on here? What am I dealing with here? Give me some insight in terms of what's going on. And if he corrects you about your lifestyle, your behavior, then take it as a blessing. Be correctable. Be teachable. Be pliable. Does that make sense? You know, Bert, I don't know why today, but I was just thinking about Claude. And I go into the post office, and most of you may not know, but he served our country. Amen. Faithfully and honorably. And then he went to work for the post office, where he retired from the post office. And for years, I'd go in there, and he wouldn't hardly even look up at me, let alone speak two words to me. To say he wanted nothing to do with me or this church or you guys is not an overstatement, is it? That's just where he was in his thinking and his heart. And he had, towards the end of his life, he had been diagnosed with cancer, and he was up at Murray Calaway County Hospital and still hadn't turned his life over, still haven't come to the Lord. And I just felt impressed when I was about, 10:30 at night. I was just sitting there. I was like, get up and go to the hospital and go see him. And I walked into the hospital, and I walked up into the floor there, and I walked into the door, and all of a sudden his face brightened up. He said, "You're exactly who I wanted to talk to." And I'm thinking to myself, I'm the last person you normally would want to talk to. And what was happening, God was already pounding his heart. God was already doing something supernatural. I tell you, don't stop praying for your husbands, for your wives, for your kids, for your grandkids. Don't stop praying for them. And I walked in that door, and he was already full throttled, ready to give his life to Jesus Christ. And he did. He gave his life to the Lord that night. Yes, he did. And the following Sunday after he got out, where was he at? He was sitting in church. That's exactly where he wanted to be. Now, to go from ain't got nothing to do with those crazy people over there to coming straight to church after he got born again. Amen. He's with Jesus now. I said he's with Jesus now. Aren't you glad for that? At the end of the day, the most important healing of all is that we are spiritually healed, that we're right with the Lord. But in the warfare that we're in, ask him, talk to him, what's going on? And listen to what he has to say. I dare say that all of us have adjustments to make. Sure. Adjustments in our thinking, adjustments in our behavior, adjustments in our practices. Let him do it. And I said all that to say this, the experts all think they're right, but one person made you.
That's it. Amen.
Do you realize that? You have the ability to talk to the manufacturer. You know, if you're driving around a Ford, you don't want the Chevy manual.
No.
Why not just talk to the one that actually made you? Yeah. You mean he'll let me know?
Yes, he will.
Yeah, he will. And when he says, "I don't want you eating that," your first thought will be, "Well, so-and-so gets to eat it." Now, if the Lord tells you not to have something, don't you go around punishing everybody else around you.
All right.
Kelly, don't you be doing that. Is that mercy for him to instruct us?
Yes.
It is. He's a good God. So I ask him, Lord, am I dealing with original sin or something in my life? Is there a door I need to close? Is there something that spiritually I need to deal with genetically that's popped up in my family line? If you did get a report from 23andMe, know first of all right now that all the data has been sold. And now you're in somebody's database and they know all about you. So don't commit any crimes. If you do that, you go down the list and say, "I'm predisposed." You say, "I rebuke that in Jesus' name. I'm predisposed to health and healing and soundness in Jesus' name," if you did that. But the bottom line is ask him. He'll let you know if there's something you're dealing with. Environment, lifestyle, behavior. By now, we ought to be matured, and some of these behaviors shouldn't be there. I know y'all think that I've always been an angel. Is there anything else you want to say? No? Okay. But anybody here ever heard of Senior Skip Day? Ditch Day, is that what it is? In Illinois, it's Skip Day. And what they would do is, in our senior class, they went down a little grassy lake in Illinois, and they put up several kegs, and everybody was there, and all of us that were not redeemed were there. So I can't really tell stories like this, because Kelly goes, "I don't believe that. I don't believe that." Well, let's just say there's just one too many glasses in my system. And I can tell you this, I had a cherry red 1967 Mustang. And the 289 engine had been pulled out and a 351 Cleveland had been put in. And it was a fast, 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 fast car. That's all I can tell you. There wasn't anything on the school lot that could take it. There were some fast cars, you know. No, I didn't race them. My brother actually raced that car. And it was unbeatable. But that night, I remember, because the road back to Grassy Lake, I mean, some of the roads like this, back in the country, like that. I can tell you that, I don't know what the speed I was going, but I can tell you this, that the car left the ground for the longest time. And I was not singing, "I Believe I Can Fly." It was terrifying. And to this day, I mean, the only way I was able to navigate that was there was supernatural help to put that car back down. Amen. Or I'd have been gone, lost forever. And, you know, that stuff, kind of stuff as you grow in the Lord, obviously needs to be put away. But there might be something foolish you're still exposing yourself to. Amen. Get into your business. If it's, you know, anything but holy in nature and wholesome and edifying to you, what's the point of having that around you? Obvious things like horoscopes and tarot cards, you know, and things that, you know, you shouldn't be involved in. There are, you know, ancient arts and practices. There are, you know, Indian pieces of artwork that actually are associated with, not with what you think is God the Father, but just in terms of worshiping things that ends up being ultimately demonic spirits and forces. I know the Dollar General sells little wind catchers, you know, for like a dollar and a half at the dollar store, for a dollar and a half. There's certain things that you shouldn't be involved in. Like your dream catcher things, you know. You can go through your house and say, "God, you know, what needs to go from my house? I have removed things through the years that I had no idea there was anything wrong with them. I just did what the Lord told me to do. And when I did, there was incredible peace just in knowing that that thing shouldn't have been in my life." So, you know, just let the Lord help you in your own house. Amen. I say these things not in a condemning way. We're all in the same boat here. We're all just trying to walk in victory. But why are you tying your hands behind your back while you're trying to walk in victory? You know, I don't have some big sermon series on alcohol. All I can tell you is it puts you in a position of non-resistance. They don't call them spirits for nothing. Now, I realize on Wednesday night, this is the Overcomers Club. Yes. This is the club that should have dealt with some of this stuff a long time ago. But you may have slipped in, and you're here. Get that junk out of your house.
Amen.
It's a matter of discernment. It's not a matter of legalism. It's not even a matter of your liberty. It's a matter of understanding where you're at and what's going on spiritually. You know, Jesse the Planet said like this, "I'm not looking for a way to gratify my flesh. I'm looking for a way to crucify my flesh." And there are a lot of people that teach this stuff and practice this stuff. I mean, David Wilkerson did a great job explaining, you know, why it's so dangerous to us. If you want something that'll give you a high and never leave you dry, get more of the Holy Ghost in your life.
Woo!
Get more of Him. And you're like, "Well, it's cultural, it's social." Side. For the born-again, spirit-filled, tongue-talking word person, it's not cultural.
No, it is not.
Everything, listen to me carefully, everything is spiritual for you and for me.
Yes, it is.
Everything.
Yes.
Just because you can find a pocket of Christians doing this or doing that, I'm just trying to help you here. You could open up yourself to something that you don't want. And if it's in your family, you definitely need to be staying away from this stuff. Don't look at me with that holy tone. I just happen to know what I'm talking about. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you?
Yes.
And I know there's victory out there for you. Say it with me. Let sin
rain,
or don't let sin.
Do not let sin
rain. You know, when I was sitting there at Grassy Lake and I was pumping a cup full of red cups, you know, full of whatever it was they had that day, I was not inspired to go witness. I didn't sign up for a mission trip. I didn't go do something that would help somebody else. You see what I'm saying to you? The Holy Spirit inspires that kind of life. These other spirits inspire a selfish kind of lifestyle. Well, Pastor, if you talk about tithes and offering and alcohol, people will leave your church. Do you know that every time I've talked about alcohol, somebody's left this church? And if you had ears to hear, you know your pastor loved you enough to say something about it.
That's right. Amen. Exactly.
Amen. Amen. Instead of getting all uppity about it.
That's it.
In fact, for some people in this room, it could be the very linchpin, the very thing that if you'll fix it, victory will come into your house and into your life. Is it worth making that adjustment in your life? Does that make sense? So get into your cupboards. Get into your glove box. If you open up the glove box and old lottery cards spring out on you, because you believe that you're going to hit the Mega Millions, you won't give God $5, but you'll spend every week on a lottery ticket. You know, I've officially gone on to meddling now. That's part of the pastoral anointing.
That's okay. It's good.
I have faith. I'm going to win. Do you know that there's an economist and a psychologist did a study, and they found out, tracking this over decades, that when people are generous, and they give, for every dollar they give, in this life, they can't get rid of all their money. $1.60 comes back to them in the natural. Now, you and I know this is seed time and harvest in the spiritual realm, and it really does work, doesn't it, church? But I'm going to win. I'm going to win. No, you need to realize what you're doing is trying to place something in the place of your source instead of your God. But if you do win, make sure you tithe.
Yeah.
Don't be a heathen twice, amen? Don't miss the boat twice. I mean, yeah. I was a baby Christian when the Lord broke me of this. I'll share this with you, and we'll just pray over this because we got a lot of stuff to cover. We're going to talk about the God's healing medicine. We're going to talk about things that hinder healing. We're going to talk about methods of healing in Scripture, which is an amazing study. We're going to talk about all those factors that affect us receiving healing from God. It's going to be a nice and wonderful ride for us. But we used to go to the DuQuoin State Fair. Their big deal is over the Labor Day weekend every year, and they have big name singers and concerts and stuff like that. I saw Amy Grant there. Kenny Rogers played there. Every band you can think of. Comedians like Red Skelton would appear there often. He was absolutely a hoot. But the crown jewel of the fair and all the activities was the running of the Hamiltonian, which is a trotter. If you've seen these horses with little bitty carts behind them, it's a trotting race versus what the thoroughbreds and you know Churchill Downs do on horseback. And this is a big deal. It's a big, huge prize. It's the biggest purse anywhere in harness racing. And I found a horse that I really, really like. Now, legally, you're not supposed to be able to, even bet to a certain age. But I found this horse, and that horse's name was T.V. Yankee. Everybody say T.V. Yankee three times. Now, with a name like that, how can you go wrong? And I found out this horse has set a European record. So far, so good. And then, so the way this works, the Hamiltonian, and now the present incarnation of that is the World Trotting Derby there, because the Hamiltonian moved back to New Jersey, is what you do is, if you're in the horse, you have to win two of the heats that you're in. So if you win, you get to come back and race again, and you're way ahead of the ballgame. So all the horses are lined up, you know, there's 9, 10, 11 horses lined up, and it's post time, and the gate opens up, and there go the horses, and there's T.V. Yankee. He comes in like 7th place. The horse I bet on, 7th place. Mm-hmm. Undaunted, the only one's won two heats yet, so it's not over. You know, here later in the day, here comes T.V. Yankee again. This time he gets 9th.
Oh, Lord.
I lose again. The third time around, no horse had won yet, but there were winners in this heat with T.V. Yankee. And I'm like, this is it. He's going to be the spoiler. He's going to win this thing and come back and win another one. He is going to win this thing, you know, all on there, you know, for to win, you know, for T.V. Yankee. And my foolishness was so great that I even sucked my dad into it this time. And he lays down a $20 bill voting to win for this horse. And all of a sudden, you know, bets are down and you can't bet anymore. And it's post time. And all of a sudden up on the screen, it says T.V. Yankee, scratch. Didn't even run. And at that moment, everybody say the Holy Ghost. At that very moment, he said, you've got more faith in that dumb horse than you do in me. I never bet on another thing from that day forward. You should be betting on what? Having confidence in God and His Word.
Amen.
To heal, to restore, to cause life to come into you. So I don't know what's in your cupboard, what's in your, you know, garbage. I don't know what's in your refrigerator. All I can tell you is to ask the Lord to do a spiritual sweep and just listen to Him. It's not worth your victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let Him do a sweep. Smile at somebody and say, let Him sweep. Let Him clean house. Whatever He tells you to do is going to produce victory in you. It's not going to harm you. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap and thank Him for that.